listen carefully, please. Our most valuable possession is our children. Christian parents and Christian grandparents had rather have godly children and godly grandchildren than to have $1 million, than to have $10 million. A building was under construction at great, great expense. The purpose of the building is that it was going to be used for young people, young men and young women, to teach them and train them to live better lives. At the dedication of the building, the speaker said this. He said that if just one young person, one young man, or one young woman is helped by what we have built here, it will be worth all of the expense that's gone into it. When the speaker was done, there was a reporter that challenged him. He said, "Don't you think you were exaggerating just a bit there? I mean, to say that just one young person, just one young man or just one young woman, that if just one was helped, that would be worth all of the expense in that. Is that what you believe?" And the speaker said, "Yes, especially if it's my son or my daughter." Nothing is more valuable to us than our children and our grandchildren. But the truth is, there are times when we are not as knowledgeable about our children as we ought to be. We have got to know. Listen to me. We have got to know who is after our children. We have got to know who is after our grandchildren. We have got to know how the enemy is going about getting at our children. And we then have got to know what it is that we can do to help them. All of this brings me to a single verse of Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about or prowleth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." I believe that we live in a day in which our children are under attack as never before. You better understand this. The devil is not out. The enemy is not about trying to get acquainted with your child. The devil is about capturing the mind of your child. You better get with this program. The devil is not about trying to influence your grandchild. The devil is about trying to destroy your grandchild. observations. Observation number one is the reality of the attack. The reality of the attack. What I'm talking about is real. This is real. In the passage above, Peter says, your adversary, the devil. Your adversary, the devil. Brethren, listen to me. The devil is real. The devil is not a myth. The devil is not some kind of symbol for something else. The devil is not some kind of imaginary force that is working in the world. Listen, the devil is real. His agenda is real. And his agenda involves our children and our grandchildren. The reality of the attack is real. It's real. In John chapter 10 and in verse 10, in talking about the devil, Jesus said the thief, and in the context, the thief is the devil, Jesus says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Steal, kill, and destroy. Well, that's a progression, isn't it? Steal, kill, and destroy. It's the reality of the attack. The devil is real, and the devil is really after the youth of today. Number two, you have the reality of the attack. And then you have the method of the attack. The method of the attack. Brethren, listen. The devil has a bullseye on your child. Your grandchildren are in the crosshairs. Because the devil knows if he can capture their hearts and their minds, that will lead to the destruction of the home, and ultimately it will lead to the destruction of the country. There is the reality of the attack. This is really happening. But then there is the method of the attack. In other words, how does Satan work today? What is his method of this attack and capturing us? Let me ask you a question. Does the devil work miraculously in the world today? The answer to that question is no. There is no evidence at all that the devil is performing miracles to get who he wants to get. There's no evidence, not one shred of evidence for that. So how does he work? What is his method? Brethren, you need to understand this if you haven't understood this before. The kingdom of Satan is built on lies and deceit. That's how he works. Jesus said in John 8 and in verse 44 that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. Well, what does that mean? That means that every lie, think about this, every lie that's ever been told, the devil fathered that lie. Everybody who ever speaks a lie at that moment is allowing the devil to come into their heart and to deceive them to tell that lie. In Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 9, listen carefully. John, the writer of Revelation, says, "So the great dragon," pause. It's very important for John here to inform us about just who this great dragon is. So John is going to go out of his way to describe who it is he's talking about so that none of us can misunderstand this. He says, "The great dragon, that serpent of old." When the devil first appears in the scripture in Genesis chapter 3, the devil is disguised as a serpent. But John still wants to make it clear. This great dragon, this serpent of old, then he says this, called the devil and Satan. Now we know who he's talking about. John says, listen, the dragon, the old serpent, Satan and the devil, that's who this is. Now, John, tell us, what is he doing? Who deceives the whole world. Now, wait a minute. The word deceive in Revelation 12, 9, that word appears in that verse as the verb. Deceive is a verb in that verse. Well, what is a verb? A verb denotes action. So the devil's action is to deceive. Are you listening? The devil's action is to deceive. But that word deceive is not only presented in that verse as a verb. That word deceive is also there as a present participle. Well, what is that? A present participle is an ongoing action. In other words, the devil's action isn't just to deceive, but the devil deceives and then deceives and then deceives, and he just keeps deceiving. What that verse implies to us is that the chief characteristic of the devil is to lie and to deceive. The reality of the attack is that the devil is for real, and he's got a job here with us. Listen, the method of the attack is that he uses lies and deceit. Well, let's ask another question. Who does the devil deceive? Well, the devil deceives the young. He deceives the young. He tells the young, listen, happiness isn't in here. Happiness is out there. Fun is where sin is. And let me tell you, there is pleasure out there. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, it talks about the pleasures of sin for a season or a little while. Brethren, listen to me. If there wasn't pleasure in sin, nobody go out there in it. But that pleasure is short-lived. And when that short season is over, it's followed by misery, and it will keep you miserable as long as you stay in it. He deceives the young. The world is where it's at. The world is what's happening. The world is what's fun. The world is where it's going. You don't need God. You just need me and what I can give you. The devil deceives the young through deceit. But the devil deceives the old too. The devil tells us children can raise themselves. No, they can't. No, they can't. No, they can't. The devil deceives us. The devil tells us. You just need to work for success, and you need to work to gain more so that you can give your children more than you had. Listen, a million times more than what we can give our children, the most important thing we can give them is some of our time. There is the reality of the tax. The devil is real. His agenda is real. Wake up. There is the method of the attack. Well, what is he doing? He's lying and deceiving, and we're swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. Observation number three. The reality of the attack, the method of the attack, and the responsibility of family and church. The responsibility of family and church. We all have a responsibility in this, brethren. All of us. So what can we do? We have to do all we can do. But what can we do? Well, number one, we can pray. We can pray. Before King David died, he prayed for Solomon, his son. Yes. Hannah prayed for Samuel before he was ever conceived. Lord, you give me a man and I'll give him back to you. Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, came to Jesus and begged Jesus to help and to heal his daughter. We can pray. Listen, prayer is on the front line of defense about what we can do. And let me tell you what prayer can do. There are many, many, many a young person who is still standing today because they had somebody who was praying for them. Don't say there's nothing you can do. You can pray. And number two, we can teach. We can teach at home, and we can teach here. Listen to me. Our children not only need to be taught about math and English, they need to be taught about God. That needs to happen at home, and that needs to happen here. Now, let me say this, and let me make this very, very clear. Every child ought to be in Bible class every Sunday morning. You clap or not clap, I'm not changing that statement. Their minds are like sponges. And what they learn at a young age are thoughts and are truths that never, ever will leave them. I'm not standing here blowing smoke. I'm telling you something that I know about because I live through it. It couldn't have been more than second grade. What was that? Seven. Couldn't have been more than second grade. That dear saint of God, Sister Pat Howell, taught second grade in Sunday school. And every single week, before we got out of that class, she'd go over the plan of salvation. And she did it in different ways and in different means. And I'm telling you, not just hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and the verses that go with it, but what it means. Listen, I learned that in second grade, and what that woman stood there and taught in second grade, I have never forgot that. When I was older, I was in a class where Solomon Sims Sr. was a teacher. I remember that classroom. I remember where I sit in that classroom, and I remember sitting there looking up at Solomon Sims Sr. as he taught us, and I remember the things that I learned there. What we learn in youth, we don't ever forget. And the church can put on any kind of program it wants to. And we can offer classes when we want to. And we can offer fellowship when we want to. But if the kids don't come, we can't help. I don't mean send them here. I mean you bring them here. Get out of bed. Amen. And bring them here. Every child, listen, the devil is taking shots at him every day. Every day. Every day, young people are being bombarded by the world in ways in which, when us older folks were young, we never heard of such a thing. He's after them. He's after them. He's trying to deceive them. He's trying to capture their minds. What can we do? We can pray and we can teach. But if we can't teach who's not here. The battle I'm talking about. The battle I'm talking about. Is not a battle for tomorrow. It's a battle for today. Every day, sin is everywhere around them. Temptation is everywhere around them. You get online, you get on social media, and there's filth. There's filth. We got to do what we can. We got to do what we can. We have to band together, family and church, and we have to teach these kids. I'm going to tell you one more time. What they learn, mama, those little ones next to you right now, what they learn at that age, they're never, ever going to forget it. And I'll tell you something else, even as far away from God as they will drift, they will still hold to those memories. So we have to do what we can. The devil is real. The attack is real. The method he uses is not a secret. But we need to band together to do what we can. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. This morning, if you're here, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, come right now as together we stand and as we sing.